can, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to, let's see what's up here on the screen, Isaiah chapter 11. Boy, I mean it. You pray for me this morning. it doesn't bother me that from time to time I'll have days where just ain't a whole lot going on there. I'm human. Have a human body, have a flesh body, and I'm one of the things I'm most thankful for is years ago God just brought me to this place in my life where I realized that preaching on Sunday morning was not a performance. It wasn't me trying to hit a home run every time I got up to bat. It wasn't really about what I did or what I said. It had everything to do with what God says and what God does in your life. I found myself years ago trying to preach in order to sell the altar call. Because, I mean, that's just how I grew up. Everybody, you got to preach, try to get everybody down to the altar. I like what we have here. I got no plans on getting rid of them. Amen? They're down here. Some call them mourner's benches or whatever it is that you call it. I like them, and they're going to stay here. And every now and then, somebody ought to just come down and just start praying. And I'll be honest with you. It wouldn't, if you've ever felt this way and kind of turned it down thinking I wouldn't care for it, if God ever gets a hold of somebody's heart while I'm preaching and they just can't take it anymore and they want to come down here, you just come on. I'm going to be like, the price is right. You just come on down and let God take over the service. And I've seen that happen before. We had a couple one time when Lisa and I was out at Richwoods. We didn't even make it past the third song, and here's this couple coming down to the altar trying to get everything right with the Lord. And that, boy, that was a blessing. It really was. And so anyway, I'm not going to be much of a performer this morning. And I'm thankful that I've got enough Bible verses to just give to you and give them out to you. And I'm going to let the Word of God do what the Word of God does. Isaiah chapter 11. Are you there? Say amen. We're looking at the seven spirits of God and how God will apply them in our lives. And I had more to preach on the spirit of counsel, and I was looking at it and praying about it, and the Lord has added some things to what I was going to continue on, and so I'm going to try to do that this morning to the best of my ability. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, let's read in our Bibles. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the first spirit. The second one is the spirit of wisdom. The third one is the spirit of understanding. The fourth one is the spirit of counsel. And that's where we are this morning. And the fifth one, of might. And the sixth one, the spirit of knowledge. And the seventh one is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. We're going to look this morning at the spirit of counsel. And I've got it there up on the screen. The Bible says that in Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. What does the word counsel mean, or how is it applied in different areas of our life? If we are thinking about doing something, whether it's even a small thing or a large thing, then a lot of times we're going to listen to what other people say. We're going to let people give us their opinions or their advice or their ideas on it. And that verse there in Proverbs 20, every purpose is established by counsel. Everything that you have chosen to do or decided to do, somebody or some spirit gave you wisdom or gave you whatever it was, and you did it based upon what somebody else encouraged you to say. Even if it was wrong. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And when you're with a worldly crowd and they're doing worldly things and you're trying to not do those things, I guarantee you, you're going to end up running with them because of the counsel of their presence and the pressure that you think they're going to put on you to run with them and do what they're doing. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? Every now and then, just nod your head if you think I'm still doing fine, all right? If it gets so bad, I just keep messing everything up. I'll go lay on my couch, all right? But we do that. When we were young, we wanted to be like everybody that we were going to school with. There was people that we associated with. And if they wore their shirts with their shirts untucked, that's how we wore our shirts. And if they had their collar flipped up, then we flipped our collar up. And if they had their hair combed a certain way, then we combed their hair a certain way. If they had, back for me, I was a high school boy in the 80s. And so we run around with those high top tennis shoes on, untied. Okay? Untied. Doesn't that just go over you like fingernails on a chalkboard? See, that's a mother for you right there. That shoes ought to be tied. That's what I used to hear. But we made these decisions and we did these things because of the counsel of the people that were around us. And this is why I just encourage people. Encourage you sitting here. Encourage you that are watching online. Whether who you fellowship with and who you run with, that's who's going to counsel you. Those are the people, whether you turn to them or they're just going to offer it on their own. They're going to tell you that you ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. Or you ought to stay here or you ought to move. That group and that crowd is going to be counseling you. You have to make the decision whether or not you're going to run with the world or you're going to run with God. And I'll tell you, when you decide that you're going to run with God, you realize you cannot run with the world anymore because they're going to counsel you in the wrong way. They're going to establish ideas and principles in your mind that are against what the Bible says. And it's not going to work out. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And I'll tell you something. The crowd, following the crowd's going to hell. And if you follow the crowd, you're going to be right there with them. And that, I preach that to these young people, but I'll preach it to us old people too. Be careful who we run with. Can I hear you say amen? And the word counsel pertains to thoughts, pertains to thinking or how decisions are made. And again, we see that verse there in Proverbs chapter 20. And there's a couple places here. I got them up on the screen here. Hope this works. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11. I'll read them to you if you can't see them very good. There's three places in the book of Proverbs that I thought was really interesting, and this stuck out in my mind. And it always talked about a multitude of counselors. A multitude of counselors, a multitude of counselors. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You say, well, what do you get out of that, Brother Mike? Number one, you run with a crowd, you're going to do what the crowd says. And if you want to run with God's people, then God's people are going to be a multitude of counselors in your life. You're going to hear something from one of God's people and not be satisfied. So somebody else will give it to you. And lo and behold, they're both saying the same thing. Maybe say it two different ways, but they're both saying the same thing. And God requires us that if we're going to establish something, it ought to be established how? At the mouth of two or three witnesses. God's right on this thing, is He not? Get with your Christian brothers, your Christian sisters on what you think, what you need to do, what you're thinking about doing, how you're thinking about doing it, and so on. And I guarantee a multitude of counselors, there is safety in that. No man, it said, is an island. And what that means is no man can operate solely of himself and of his own ideas and his own thoughts. Everybody is going to do things from day to day based upon what others say or what others think. You're the one that gets to choose what crowd that is that you're running with. Amen? So out of a multitude of counselors. By the way, Jesus said, and I'll pull this verse up here in a little bit, I'm kind of running ahead of myself, but Jesus is called counselor in the Bible. If you just take your Bible and just kind of fan through it a little bit, you know, you're going to see different names in your Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Malachi, Peter, Paul, John, James. You know what that is? That's a multitude of counselors. There's about 40 people they figure had a hand in writing the Bible down as God spake to them. The Holy Ghost moved them and they wrote those words down. About 40 men they figure wrote those things down. I think 40 counselors would be enough to tell you this is what you need to be doing. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. So if you see it in one place in the Bible and say, God, that's one witness, but I'd like to see another witness in the Bible, God will show it to you. Be some other place in your Bible. Be about 800 pages away, one way or the other. God will use Isaiah over here. God will use Paul over here. God may even throw David in the Psalms in on the mix just to give you a witness that the counsel stands firm and the counsel is true. So I believe that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. A multitude of counselors, things are established. And again, he says, a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, we can be counseled in a wrong way. And I mentioned that, and we're going to end up going in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, if God lets me. I had that in my mind last night. That's just kind of what was coming out of my heart last night. I was studying this and going back over it. And so you may want to turn there, but let me read these verses here for you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children. Now think about all of us adults in here. Think about when we were rebellious children. We did, Dave Bradley, what the crowd told us to do. We followed the crowd. We dressed like the crowd. We walked like the crowd. They liked this song, so we're going to like this song. They ate this stuff, so we're going to eat this. I mean, that's just how it was when we were kids, when we were little. We were influenced by the people that were around us. If your parents took you to church, then bless God for that. Then you had some other kind of influence in your life. And there was always this little disagreement going on between the two crowds. But he said, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. There is a woe to you if you don't take counsel from God. And you say, well, what is a woe? Go look in the book of Revelation. There's woes that are going to be spilled out and poured out to the people of this earth. And if you want to understand when God says woe to something, He gives you the definition at the end of your Bible. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You say, well, I don't understand this verse. What is this verse? I'm big on this, and I think you ought to study it out on your own and find out to be true. But I just think there is a picture. God draws a picture in your Bible of just about everything that He declares so we can have an understanding of it. He says in here, they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Did you know there's a picture of this in your Bible? You know who it is? David and Bathsheba. David committed adultery with Uriah's wife. Uriah was one of David's mighty men out fighting the battles for David. David was at home in his palace. He ended up stealing this man's wife away from him. And then, in order to cover up the pregnancy, brought Uriah home from the battlefield and tried everything in the world to get Uriah to go home to be with his wife before it would be too late. Uriah never would do it. So you know what David was trying to do? He was trying to cover his own sin, but not with the covering of God. And isn't that true? Isn't that what we try to do? Is that we do something and then we try to cover our tracks. Or we try to cover up what we did, or we don't want anybody to find it out. And when you do that, you will be adding more sin to the original sin. That's what God's telling you. So what did David do? He tried to cover it up. That didn't work. So he said, you know what? I can't have Uriah as a witness that he never went into his wife. So he went and sent Uriah out to the front of the battlefield. David was hoping that Uriah, his mighty man, would be killed. And that is exactly what happened. So David thought that he got away with it. He thought he got away with it. And I'm here to tell you, if you've got sin that is unconfessed, unrepented, you're trying to carry it around, you won't get away with it. Let me tell you, you know what Jesus said to do when if somebody we know sins? He said, first of all, you go to them privately, right? How many of you think that's a good idea? Amen. That's how we should deal with people, especially people we go to church with, or maybe people in our own family or whatever. We go to them privately. You know why? Because you could be on the other end of that thing. Don't ever forget that. Amen? You could be on the other end of that thing. He said, go to them privately. And then if they don't repent, take two. Go have somebody else go with you. Two witnesses. And if that don't work, you bring them before the church. And I want you to watch the progression here. Sin that you commit starts out being private, and that's how you like it. If you won't let God have it, you know what He'll do? God will send the Holy Spirit to you saying, I know what you did. I know what you did. I know what you did. You'll read a verse in the Bible. It'll get you. And the Holy Ghost is going, I know what you did. If you won't confess it, God, I believe God will bring somebody else in on the scene. And now somebody else knows about it. And if you won't turn to God, don't be surprised when you become exposed for who you really are. That's how it works. Do you believe God? Say amen. That was David's sin. He thought he could cover it up, and he thought he was successful, and he got away with it for a long time. And then Nathan, the prophet, came. You know who Nathan represents? Your Bible. Nathan, the prophet, came and gave him this story about a rich man that was going to entertain somebody coming by, and there was this poor man, and all he had was a little lamb. And that little lamb was just sort of like his daughter to him. He just loved it, cherished it. And the rich man, rather than going after his own herd, went and stole the poor man's lamb and killed it and fed that visitor that came by. Nathan said, David, what do you think ought to be done to this person? And David, boy, he got mad. He said, I think we ought to hang him. I think we ought to execute him. I think we ought to take everything the man's got. Nathan looked at David and he said, thou art the man. You're the man, David. You stole Uriah's lamb. How many wives do you have? How many women do you have? David, you stole this man's lamb. You stole this man's wife. And God forgave David of that sin, but Nathan the prophet said, the sword will never depart from your house. Let me just say this to you. And I don't judge anybody. I'm not saying I know something on you or whatever, know what's going on in your family. But I want you to just give thought for a while, today, tomorrow, this week, or whatever, of swords that are in your life or in your home, or contentions or strivings that are in your family or in your person or whatever it is that will not go away, and just ask God, God, is this what I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life? The sword not departing from my house. Because if God will do it to David, who are you? David was a man after God's own heart. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. If anybody, young people, listen to me. If anybody counsels you, to try to hide and cover up your own wrongdoing, you will suffer the consequences for it. Maybe mom and daddy will never find out about it. Maybe they won't. But you're going to have to deal with this 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. I guarantee you God's going to bring it back up. How many adults know that? Say amen. Amen. Then he said in Isaiah 47:13, this is what made me think about Daniel chapter 2. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. God's telling Isaiah, tell them that I know what their religious practices are. Tell my people that I know that they go after astrologers and soothsayers and magicians and all that nonsense, all that occult nonsense, and they're observing times and they're doing this and that and the other. Tell them I know all that stuff, and ask them when the heat really turns on and I start pouring out my judgment upon you people, ask them whether or not their astrologers are going to save them or going to bring them out of the fire. The answer is no. God's going to let them be wrong. Hosea chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. You know what that means? A stock is just like a stock of wood. A stick. That's where we get it from. You know what they did with stocks of wood? They had hired a guy to carve it. Carve out a face on it. Put arms and hands on it. Put feet on it. Make it into a god. Cover it with gold. Paint it. Dress it up real nice. Put it in some temple somewhere. And God said, just think about it. Ultimately, you're asking counsel from a stick. That's what you're doing. Joe, amen. You know why Joe said amen? He grew up in the Catholic Church. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He was told, see that stick right there? Some guy made that into Mary. You go and pray to that stick and see what Mother Mary will tell you. But say it right, Joe? Man, I could be a good Catholic, couldn't I? I got it down pat. God said for the spirit, watch this. Here's the spirit that's behind that. It's the spirit of whoredoms. And I want you to listen to me. When you will not ask counsel of God's spirit and God's word, when you turn some other place, it will be a spirit of whoredoms. That's what it's telling you. A spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. I've got something that just came in my mind, and I'm going to address it. This may not be to maybe some people here in this building, but I guarantee you, out of all the families and all the people that we have watching online right now, let me say something. You run into somebody tells you some sort of doctrine, some sort of, I don't know, some kind of nonsense. And you don't know whether it's true or not. So you decided to go investigate it on the internet. You're going to read internet articles. You're going to watch YouTube videos. Wait a minute, I make YouTube videos. You know what I tell people in the YouTube videos? Go read your Bible. Amen. And here's what you do. Some people have fallen into grievous doctrinal error. Why? Because they went and asked counsel of the World Wide Web and everything out in the internet land instead of going to the Lord and say, God, I want to know from your word whether this is true or not. Now let me give you my... I've told this before, but it just fits right here. Been there, done that. Years ago, right after God called me into studying prophecy, I went to see a guy up in St. Louis, up at the airport. He's from over here, Kansas City way, and he said God had given him these visions of all this was going to happen. So I went up there, Ron, and I took a notebook up there and I wrote down everything he said. I mean, I had 4 pages of notes. I never took notes in college, but I had notes on him. I wrote down everything the man said, and I'm just going, boy, I mean, he sounds convincing. And I walked out of that meeting, I got in the car, and on the way home, I'm praying, God, he said this, 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 and this. But God, if I remember right, there's a verse in the Bible that says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So God, I'm not going to ask him if he's telling the truth, because what would he say? Oh, yeah, I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to ask anybody else if he's telling the truth, because nobody has the truth. If he's right, God, I want you to show it to me in the Bible. That's what I want. What I know is going to come from this book right here. That should satisfy you right then and there. Let me hear you say amen. And if your Bible doesn't say it word for word, don't believe it. And God will not be angry with you if you don't believe what some preacher said that's not in the Bible. God's not going to be angry at you, and God's not going to hold you in judgment. Do you believe that? Say amen. That's what he's getting at. Now I'm going to skip over some things here. I want to do this. There's a thing in the Bible, and we went through this real fast. There's a thing in the Bible, the wicked counselor versus the wonderful counselor. You decide who you're going to listen to. Nahum 1:11, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. You know who that is? I think that's the Antichrist. Where did he say he was? He's in you. There is one that comes out of thee. He's a wicked counselor. You know, I'm reading this, and I just remember something. Anna, you were supposed to sing. I forgot about that. Told you to remind me. We'll get you. I want to hear you sing. Anyway, back to the sermon. I told you, it's a slow day for me, man. Watch it. I read that verse. There's one. I knew the Bible had called the Antichrist a wicked counselor. You go back and read the verse. He said, there's one cometh out of thee. You know what that is? There is you getting counsel from yourself, telling yourself that what you're thinking about doing is okay. Go ahead and do it. And everybody in here knows that you can counsel yourself into some pretty rotten, stupid, nasty stuff. You believe that, say amen. Amen. It's like you got a little devil over here and a little angel over here, something like that. Well, actually, there is a wicked counselor, and there is God's wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who's trying to counsel you in the right way. It's to be according to his word. But there is a wicked counselor, and you know what Paul called him? Paul called him that no good thing that is in your flesh. There is, Paul said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. What I want to do is right, That's present with me. I want to do right all the time. I know I should do right all the time. But he said, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know why? He's got a wicked counselor in his flesh. That's where that thing abides. It abides in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and it will always seek out its own benefit. You know how you can judge whether some things are right or wrong? Who does it benefit first? If it benefits the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, that thing's probably of God. But if it benefits you, and you know what we do? We know that it benefits us, and that's why we came up with it. But if we sell it to ourselves at, this will help God a lot. Don't we do that time to time? We put God's name on it, say, see, that's right. I know it's right because God's name's on it. And yet we're going to do our own will anyway. That is that wicked counselor that is on the inside of us. Let me move on. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Thoughts of his heart to all generations. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's none other than Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Did you know that his counsel will stand forever? If you will follow what's in your Bible, if you will follow the Lord through the pages of the Scripture, God will take what you're doing and establish it forever. Give your marriage over to God. Let God establish your marriage. Let God establish the relationship between a husband and a wife. I believe God will help that thing, and God's Spirit will get in that thing, and God will allow that to stand for as long as two people stand on this earth. God will do that. You believe that? Say amen. He said in Psalm 64:2, he said, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Jeremiah, but I got to stop here. Edward Bell, are there wicked secret counsels that work against Christian families? I knew he'd say yes. That's why I picked on him. Because him and his family have had to deal with that in the last few weeks. If you think that everybody's still nice out in this world and in this country, and everybody's really for good, decent Christian families, you're wrong. You're wrong. You didn't see the secret counsel that they had with each other. You didn't see that. And I know a little bit about these things. I've made it clear that at a time in my life when I did not believe that this Bible was right, I hung around preachers that believed the same way. They were older than me. And I befriended them. And I heard, Dave Bradley, how they talked about the King James only people. I was sitting at the table with them when they were talking about it. They disdained the King James Bible. They hated it. They hated anybody that stood for it. I used to sit there and listen to them. I know how they talk. They would never say that at the meeting. They'd never get up and say, you know what they say at the meeting? I think the King James is a good translation. That's what they say publicly. What they say privately is a different thing, and I know it because I used to be there and I used to say it with them. And so don't think for a minute that there are not secret counsels of the wicked that are devising ways of destroying. Let me tell you what they're going to try to destroy. Number one, they're going to try to destroy the foundation of the home. And when I say home, I'm saying a husband and his wife and their children. Did I say that right? Listen, I'm not too cloudy and foggy to know that it's a man with a woman in marital contract with children. That is the Christian home. That's the foundation of this nation. The foundations are being destroyed. You believe that? Wicked counselors will do it. They're going to destroy the foundation of the home. They're going to destroy the foundation of faith. What is the foundation of faith? It's that Bible. They're going to try to destroy that. How many churches can you go to in Festus, Missouri, that are using that Bible, King James Bible? Very few. Very few. And a lot of you know that. You've been around. Okay? But anyway, that's the counsel of the wicked. Jeremiah 23:22. But if they, meaning the prophets, had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. A wicked counselor will not have you turn away from your wickedness. That's that crowd that says, well, God made all the gay people too. And He made them just the way they are, so we should welcome them in and fellowship with them. And there are pastors, I saw it coming years ago. There are pastors right now in this country that are turning themselves over to a reprobate mind, and they're coming out of the closet saying, we welcome all the sodomites and all the gays and all the homosexuals into our church, and you will not be condemned if you come here. Listen, the devil's fixing to have his day in this country. Psalm 73, verse 21, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive my glory. Two things out of here. Number one, David, or whoever wrote this, said, I was as a beast before thee. You know what that is? That's your flesh nature. It's just like a wild animal wants to do whatever it wants to. And David said, I've got that in me. I know that. But I'm going to turn my life over to God because I know that God will guide me with righteous counsel. Let me hear God's people say amen to that one. Psalm 119:24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Psalms 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of who? The ungodly. Don't read their books, don't watch their movies, don't watch their primetime TV shows or their daytime TV shows. Don't listen to their radio programs. Don't download their YouTube videos. Don't stay away from that stuff. Somebody say amen. Anyway, he's going to deliver fruit in his season. I'm going to get to Daniel chapter 2 here in a little bit. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. When you become a Christian, when you decide that you're going to live for God, you've decided that you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Period. You've decided that you are going to seek God's kingdom first. Because God is going to do the counsel of His will. God is going to do what He said He was going to do. He's going to do what He set forth to do. God is going to do it. You might as well just jump on the train and ride it. Somebody say amen. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You know what immutability means? Does anybody know what that means? Raise your hand if you know what that means. Immutability. What does it mean, Dave?
Can't change.
God doesn't change His word or His ideas or His doctrines or His morality based upon the whims and the fads of mankind. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that you can go to bed tonight with the Bible saying something and know that you can wake up the next day and the Bible will still say it? It was right yesterday, it's right today, and it'll be right tomorrow. Most of us here, we've got areas of our life that we're just like bouncing all over the place. There's nothing stable. Not everything in your life, but there's an area in your life where there's nothing stable. When you have that in your life and in your mind, you thank God that there's an anchor that's got God wrapped around your legs so you don't float away. Somebody say amen. He's not changing it. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now I want you to listen to me. God, you can be fooling everybody else. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your mom and dad or your children. You can fool your church people. You can fool everybody, but you will not fool God. And God will at some point bring out the wicked counsels that you have listened to in your life. They will be manifest. God is going to make manifest the counsels of the heart, He said, and it will come out. Just like He's talking about in Ezekiel 13, I think Ezekiel 24, where they're building, we're talking about this on Wednesday night, they're building that wall with untempered mortar. That wall is not going to hold up, Jody. That wall is going to fall. God's going to bring a storm. Hail's going to beat it down. And you know what God said? You're going to see the foundations discovered. You're going to see what they were really built on, and they were lying through their teeth about it. It's one thing to lie. It's a worse thing when we get caught in it. Amen? I mean, it's bad enough to lie. then you get caught lying. That's bad. God will catch you, by the way. Amen? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. This is what I wanted to preach this morning. So it's 12 o'clock. I'm just now getting to the message. An old service tonight. Amen. I like that attitude. I don't know if I can hold up to it, but I like it. Amen. I'm on top of everything else. I feel like I'm losing my voice too. Daniel chapter 2. Does anybody know what Daniel chapter 2 is about? Anybody know what it's about? I'll give you a free video if you can tell me what Daniel chapter 2 is about. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And here's what made me think about it. That verse there in Isaiah 47 where he said, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, stargazers, monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." There are people all over this country who read a horoscope every day, buy horoscope books, go to astrologers, have them cast whatever kind of deal they cast, go to tarot card people, call the 900 numbers to get some kind of fortune telling done on them. That is a multi-billion dollar business in this country. You would think that people as smart as that wouldn't turn to that, but since we kicked the Bible out of our classrooms and out of our courthouses and out of most churches now, God is releasing very, very bad spirits inside this country. Do you believe that? Say amen. And there, you'd be surprised at the number of people who are practicing a form of witchcraft that you don't know they're doing it. You'd be surprised that your neighbors are probably practicing some form of witchcraft. That's what this nation has turned into. So in Daniel chapter 2, he says in verse 1, let's go to verse 2. He said, "The king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans." There's four things here, and I want to preach this, and I don't want to take all day. Four things here. Think about principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. Think of the gospel. Think of a false gospel. And Nebuchadnezzar, you listen to me now, Nebuchadnezzar believed in a false gospel. He believed in a religion that he thought was going to benefit him. And in four chapters of your Bible, Daniel 1, Daniel 2, Daniel 3, and Daniel 4, in four chapters of your Bible, it details how Nebuchadnezzar was saved from following sorcery and witchcraft to acknowledging there is only one true God. I love this part of my Bible. Four chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel to Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that I will see Nebuchadnezzar at the rapture. Translation. I think he got saved. I think he confessed that there is one God. Amen? That's what I think. And you know what Daniel chapter 2 is about? How God used someone who had the spirit of counsel in them. Now you listen to this. Just in case I don't get all the way through the book of Daniel chapter 2. You listen to this. I'm kind of moving this message away from who's influencing you. Now we're dealing with who are you influencing? How is your life and the words of your life counseling the people around you? How are they counseling your lost relatives? How are they counseling your children or your grandchildren or your mom and dad or your brothers and sisters? How are you counseling them? Because Nebuchadnezzar, I'll tell you what he ran into. He brought in his, what does it say here? His magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans. He brought in these four people, and these were his hired counselors. And here's what he told them. He said, "Boys," he said, "I had a dream last night." And he said, "I need, number one, to know what the dream was. And then number two, I want you to give me the interpretation of it." And he said, "If you do," I'll just flood you with riches. Whoever comes to me first with it. And so it's his four, what can I call them? Con men. Because that's what they were. And you know, watch this. You know what God's doing? You know what God's fixing to do in Nebuchadnezzar's life? He's fixing to show him that his religion don't work. How is it that we can... We always tell Dave's going to go over to Italy. Those people, they think that Pope is God. How is it that anybody who is that devoted to a man, how is it that we can convince them that they're following the Antichrist? You can't. So he's going over there with tracts that have Bible verses in it, because he figures if anybody can reach them, it would be God through his word. But God has got to do exactly with them what God did with Nebuchadnezzar. He's got to convince some of those people that their religion won't work. That Mary is just a stick that they're bowing to and nothing more than that. You got to convince them of that. Once, because if they think their religion works, and trust me, the devil knows how to use lying signs and wonders, does he not?
Amen.
David, how many statues of Mary around the world have tears and blood coming out of her eyes? Jack, it's all over the place, isn't it? It's everywhere. The devil is using those things to convince people this is the real deal right here. So he's got those four deals there, and Nebuchadnezzar said, "You guys don't understand me. I don't remember the dream. I can't think of it. I saw it all." And you've had this dream before, haven't you? As soon as you woke up, boom, it's gone. And he said, "What I'm asking you to do is tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation." And they said, "Oh, king, we will. We'd love to give the interpretation. Tell us what the dream is." And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Now listen to me. I'm going to say this one more time. I don't know what the dream was. And if you and your all your superpowers, I cannot determine what my dream was. I think the dream came from," he said, "the holy gods or the gods or whatever." He said, "If you and your spirits cannot tell me what I dreamed, then I'll know that you're fake and you're phony and you're a fraud. And I'll have everybody in my kingdom killed that is a counselor to me." And they said, "King, there has never been any counselor been able to reach inside some man's mind after he woke up and pull a dream out of there. You're asking too much." Then King said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little time. But I'm telling you right now, you're all fixing to get it. Because I want to know what this thing was." Word got to Daniel. Daniel heard about it. Daniel and those three men, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, that was their Hebrew names. He went to them. Then we got four guys. Look at that. Look at this. Watch this. There's four on this side and four on this side. Woo! I like it. Amen. And the four on this side, they all got together and they said, "You know, the king Nebuchadnezzar, all he knows of us is that we don't eat his food. Now, he kind of likes us, but I don't think that we're going to survive this thing. Let's us four get together and let's go to the Lord and let's ask God to spare our lives and to give us what that was." And they prayed. And God delivered. And here it is, old Daniel, he's coming up. And I hope I can find this verse quickly. Because, man, there was something in here. Oh, let's see here. Verse 19. I'll make sure I get it right. Verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.'" That's what I wanted to see. Daniel just named two of the seven spirits of God. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of might. And up, I think, before that, verse 14, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom." Daniel has just mentioned three of the seven spirits of God: counsel, might, and wisdom. And so Daniel comes, and he, verse 21, he's praising God, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes, by the way, who controls the seasons? God changes it from winter to spring to summer to fall to winter again. That snow we got coming, God did that. I know some conspiracy people out there think the government's in charge of all this weather. The government's doing that. God is. Amen! "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings." God put Barack Obama in president for another 4 years in this country. This country is not what I thought it was. God gave us another wicked counselor as White House. Amen. "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went in unto Antioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Arioch's going, I got to hurry up and get this guy in here. King's losing it, man. He said, he brought him in haste and said thus unto him, I found a man, king. I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And I'd like to make a movie out of this. I can see Arioch just sweating bullets going, oh, I hope he's right. Oh, my goodness. Daniel, you said, are you sure? Daniel, yeah, I know this one. God gave it to me last night. Well, Daniel, if you get this wrong, we're all going to be dead. I'm going to hang myself out here with you. And if I bring you in, you saying you know what the king dreamt and you don't know it, he's going to kill me too. Arioch standing there just going, Daniel, hurry up. So watch this. Verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The B-E-L part is Baal. Nebuchadnezzar named Daniel after Baal, Belteshazzar. Okay? And art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king. Now you listen to what Daniel said. And I want you to listen to me. Daniel had the opportunity to take more power than what Nebuchadnezzar was going to give. Daniel had the opportunity to exalt himself in this deal and put him at the front of the line on every situation. He chose not to. He chose to do the right thing and say, this isn't me. This was God. You know why Daniel did that? God was going to use Daniel to save a lost man. Now you listen to me, people. When we stop worrying about who gets the credit for people that can be saved, God will start using us to save lost people. When we and I believe God is using this church because, and I'm not bragging on myself, God had to whip me into it. Mike, you quit worrying about taking the credit for who walks in this church building and I'll start blessing it. There's probably 2,000-3,000 people online watching right now. That's with all the family members and an unknown amount of people standing out in the street in Kenya that's listening right now. And I refuse to take the credit for that because I didn't do it. God is the one who did it. And when you stop worrying about who's going to get the credit, and to say, God, it belongs to Him and Him alone, God will start using you. God will start blessing you. Amen. Let me hear God's people say amen to that. Amen. So look at what Daniel said. Daniel answered in the presence of the king, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. You keep that. You keep this in mind. There's a lost man that God wants to save, and He's going to use you to do it. And when you do it, you're going to give the glory to God. What does a witness do in a courthouse? They testify only of what they know. And if God has done a good thing for you and saved you and pulled you out of a lot of junk in life, tell it to somebody. Maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, listen to Daniel now, listen to his humility. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. Daniel is saying here, this is not given to me because God wants to exalt me as some big high thing over your life. God is giving this to me, number one, Nebuchadnezzar, because you said you were going to kill me and my three friends. You were going to kill all of us, and God means to spare us alive. That's why He gave me this meaning and this interpretation. But also, king, so that you will know that there is one God. And He's the God of the Hebrew children that you came and got. And you thought you were going down to take custody of all these people, to treat them as slaves so you could broaden your empire. No, King. Let me tell you why you came and got us. You came and got us because God wanted you to have a testimony and a witness of your life of the one God that you never knew how to follow. And I guarantee you, by the time this is all said and done, you're going to know who God is. Somebody say amen. Listen, you get to be the counselor in the people that you're around and the people that you're with. You cannot do it outside of the spirit of counsel. You can't do it. So those of you who say, boy, you know, talking to people, I don't think I can do it. I just kind of dry up and that's just not for me. You're exactly who God's looking for. Because you're the one who won't sit around and try to come up with all kinds of wise, smart ways of trying to coerce somebody down to an altar. God will just bring them to you one day. And they'll have a need in their life and everything they've turned to turns to dust. It's dried up. It's nothing. And they don't know where to turn. But they've been watching you. And they heard you pray one day. And they saw the testimony of your life. And they said, I've tried everything else and it's not working. Let me see what old Keith's got to say. Rhonda, let me see what Rhonda's got to say. Indeed. Rhonda, I've got a problem. And everything I've turned to, I can't find help. I don't know where to turn. I know you say you go to church, you're kind of a spiritual person. Rhonda, if you got anything to say to me, I need to hear it now. And Rhonda, all you got to do is say, God, here's flares going up. Hurry, God, I need help here. And there will be stuff coming out of your mouth, Rhonda. You'll be going, where in the world is that coming from? It'll be coming from the Holy Ghost of God. And God is doing that, number one, to bless you. And number two, to show that person there really is only one God. And Rhonda knows who it is. Amen?
Amen.
Let God put in you the spirit of counsel. Because there's enough lost people out there that are going to need it. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.